Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you again this afternoon to preach the Gospel. I'd like to read some verses from the Bible. First of all, they're found in John's Gospel in chapter 3. John chapter 3. John's the fourth book in the New Testament part of our Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. We're going to read some verses from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'm beginning in verse 12. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. This is what he says. In John chapter 3 and verse 12, we read this. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Now, what we've read here in John chapter 3, as I've said, they're the words of the Lord Jesus. And what's happened here is there's a man in John chapter 3, and he's come to the Lord Jesus Christ, a man called Nicodemus. We read that in the very first parts of the chapter. This man, Nicodemus, came to the Lord Jesus by night, and he had some questions for the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to speak to him. And what we've read are some of the words of Christ, the Lord Jesus himself. Now, in that connection, I should tell you, first of all, this afternoon, that I've got no one else to talk to you about other than the Lord Jesus. I've got no one else to present to you as a saviour other than Christ. Christ is the only saviour presented to us in God's word. All that God wants you to have, all the blessings he wants for you, are to be found in the person of his Son. You know, maybe you feel the burden of your sin and the guilt of the things that you've done wrong. Christ can bring you forgiveness of sins. Maybe you want to know God and have a relationship with him. Christ can bring you into relationship with God. Maybe you're worried that you're going to go to hell. Christ can save you from hell and can take you to heaven. And all that I have to tell you about today is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in these verses that we've read together, the Lord Jesus, really from verse 12, is starting to talk to this man Nicodemus about heavenly things. About heavenly things. That's what he says at the end of verse 12. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And from this point onwards, he's beginning to speak about heavenly things to Nicodemus. That really is things that have to do with heaven. Now, if you were to ask me what's heaven like, you know, I actually can't really tell you very much about what it's like to be there, what things look like in heaven, but I can tell you some things about heaven. I can tell you it's a place where there's no sorrow. I can tell you it's a place where there's no suffering and there's no pain. I can tell you heaven's a place where there's no death and none of these terrible things that mark this world just now. I can tell you, most importantly, that heaven is a place where God is and where God's presence is enjoyed. I can tell you that heaven is where the Lord Jesus is now, and it's where he will be forever, and his people will be with him, and heaven is a wonderful place. But I can't really tell you a lot about the details of heaven. And I certainly can't take you to heaven. The Lord Jesus makes something like this very clear in verse 13. He says, and no man has ascended up to heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven. And what the Lord Jesus is saying here, as he's beginning to tell this man about things that have to do with heaven, what he's telling him is, there's no one else who's been up to heaven who can tell you about heaven. There's no other man who's gone up to heaven who can tell you about how to get to heaven and what heaven's like. And what the Lord Jesus is implying for us here is that you and I can't ascend to heaven by ourselves to tell other people about heaven. You and I and no other man on earth today can ascend to heaven by himself and in his own way. And that is a solemn fact. And it is something that we must first of all understand in the message of the gospel. That you and I can't ascend to heaven by ourselves. That we can't get to heaven by our own way and by our own means. You see, you and I, naturally, we are not suited to heaven. It's not fitting for us to be in heaven, in God's presence. The Bible says that you and I have a problem that means that we can't ascend to heaven, like the Lord Jesus is saying here. And the problem that you and I have is the problem of our sin. And the Bible does tell us very clearly in Romans in chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means that I've committed sins in my life. And that means that you've committed sins in your life. To sin really means to do something that God doesn't want us to do. It's to fall short of the glory of God, to miss the mark, to do things that we shouldn't do, to fail to do things that we should do, to do things that are directly disobedient to God. This is what sin is. And the Bible tells us very clearly, and that verse I've already quoted, for all have sinned. I've sinned and you've sinned. And you wouldn't need to look very far in my life to see the sins that I've committed. And I wouldn't need to look very far in your life before we see the wrong things that you've done as well. And the Bible tells us that our sin will keep us out of heaven. You see, God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. There's no sin with God. God is perfect and sinless and pure and holy. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God can't even look on sin. The Bible tells us about a day when a man in the Old Testament of the Bible, Isaiah, he saw a vision of the glory of Christ and the glory of God. And there were angels, seraphims, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. And so sin will keep us out of heaven because our sin cannot be in the presence of God. And just like the Lord Jesus says that we can't ascend to heaven, we might well ask, if we can't ascend to heaven, then what will the outcome be for someone who's not saved? What will the outcome be for someone who has sinned and dies in their sins if they're not going to go to heaven? Well, we read something about this in verse 15. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Perish. And this is a fearful word, to perish. And the Bible tells us that if we die in our sins, if we don't get the matter sorted with God, and if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus, that we will perish. The Bible speaks about a place called hell, and the Bible speaks about the lake of fire. And this is a place that we'd never want to go. We would never want to be in the lake of fire. The Bible says it's a place of suffering and of torment. It's a place of blackness, of darkness forever. It's a place of loneliness, a place of anguish, a place of suffering that is not just for a little period of time, but suffering that is forever. And actually what we must understand is that if God were to deal with you and I according to what we actually deserve, that we would all go down to hell into the lake of fire, because we're sinners in the sight of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus says, no man has ascended up to heaven. There's no one else can tell us about heavenly things, because no man is fit to go to heaven and to ascend there. And so we learn that you and I, we can't take ourselves to heaven. We can't get there by ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is that there is someone who can take us to heaven. The good news of the gospel is that there's someone who has come down from heaven and can take us to heaven to be with him forever. The Lord Jesus told us about this in verse 13. While it is that no man has ascended up to heaven, the Lord Jesus says this, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now when we read about the Son of Man here in this verse, that's really the Lord Jesus. It's a title of the Lord Jesus, a phrase that's used to speak of him, the Son of Man. And the Lord Jesus is saying that he himself, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, he came down from heaven. So no, none of us can get up to heaven by ourselves. But there is someone who has come down from heaven who can help us. Even the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus. It is a marvellous thing that the Son of Man came down from heaven. The Lord Jesus was always in heaven before he came to earth. the Lord Jesus was one who has eternally been in heaven. You know, he never began to exist. There was never a point in time where the Son of God began to be. But the Son of God has eternally been. He's always been in heaven with God his Father, the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus there was the object of angelic worship. He was in the full enjoyment of all that was his rightfully to enjoy in heaven. No pain, no suffering, no hardship. Where he ought to be in heaven with God his Father. And yet what we learn is that the eternal Son of the eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son himself, he came down from heaven. He came down from heaven. This is a marvellous thing, that the Lord Jesus came from heaven to earth. He became a real man. There's a verse in John's Gospel that tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven and he became a man. And when it was that the little boy was born through Mary the Virgin, and Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling bands and laid him in a manger at Bethlehem, the Word had become flesh, the Son of God had become a man, and the Lord Jesus had come down from heaven. And here was the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, having come into time, the Son of Man, which came down from heaven, says the verse. We may ask, what was this man like? The Son of Man who came down from heaven, what was he like? The Lord Jesus says, the Son of Man which is in heaven. We learn that the Lord Jesus manifested, showed the principles of heaven in his life. He was a man who was marked by a heavenly character, a man who always did things that were suited to the character of God, a man who acted righteously at all points. The Bible tells us that he was a man who was full of grace and truth. There was a glory about the Lord Jesus and about his life, a glory that was full of grace and truth. And how lovely this is. He was a man who was gracious, the Son of Man who came down from heaven. He dealt kindly with people. He was a merciful man. People who other people didn't have any time for. Poor people. People who were sick and were ill. People who were demon-possessed. The Lord Jesus loved them and had time for them. He was a merciful man and a kind man. And he was a man who was marked by truth. He was a righteous man. He was someone who always did what was right. The Lord Jesus never did anything wrong. He actually couldn't do anything that was wrong. Some of us were thinking earlier about it, the fact that it says this in the Bible, in him is no sin. The Lord Jesus could not sin. There was no principle of sin in him. He's a perfect man, the Son of Man that came down from heaven. He was always marked by grace and truth, mercy and righteousness. He was a lovely man, no man like him. A perfect man. But what we learn is that not only did the Son of Man come down from heaven, but the Son of Man did something so that we might go to heaven. We learn in verse 14 about what the Son of Man did, what the Lord Jesus did. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We're learning about a time here when it says that the Son of Man was lifted up. The Lord Jesus was lifted up. Now, what's this referring to, the Lord Jesus being lifted up? Well, perhaps we know, some of us, that the Lord Jesus was crucified at the end of his time on earth. That men took him and they put nails through his hands and nailed him to a cross. And they put him up on a cross. And that's really what's being spoken about when the Bible says that he was lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross. He was lifted up there to die and to suffer. And the Lord Jesus was lifted up when he was crucified. And we ask, why was this the case? Why is it so important that the Son of Man was lifted up? Why is the cross of Christ, so important to us this afternoon? Well, the Lord Jesus says this, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And what he's talking about when he talks about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness is something actually that happened hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus ever came to earth. And it tells us in a picture why the Son of Man had to be lifted up. You see, what happened with Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness is that the people of God, God's people in that day, they were suffering. They had sinned and they were going to die. There was actually, in the camp of the Israelites, the people of God, there were snakes there. And these snakes were biting people. And these people were dying from the snake bites. And lots of people did die. And the snakes were biting them. And what happened was that God told Moses to make an image of a snake out of brass and to put it on a pole. And that serpent on the pole, made of brass, would be on the pole and it would be lifted up and people would be able to look at it. And for all of those people who were dying from the snake bites, what God said they had to do was to look on that serpent lifted up on that pole and they would live. Look on that serpent and they'd be saved from death. They'd be saved from dying from the snake bites. And what we're learning is that that is just like why the Son of Man had to be lifted up. So that people could be saved from their problem. So that people could be saved from their sin. You see, that time when Moses lifted up the serpent, the brass serpent on a pole, what those people would see on that pole was really an image of their very problem. Their problem was the snakes. Their problem was the snakes that were biting them. And when they looked to that serpent on that pole, what they saw was an image, a picture of their problem dealt with. What they saw was a picture of their problem under the judgment of God dealt with, salvation available from their problem in that snake on the pole. And what we're learning is that in the Lord Jesus being lifted up on the cross, and what happened on the cross, our problem can be dealt with. There is in the cross of Christ the answer to our problem. Just as those people, the answer to the problem of the snakes was seen in the serpent lifted up, so was too the answer to our sin, the solution to the problem of our sin, the sin that keeps us out of heaven, is to be seen in the cross of Christ, because it's there that our sin's been dealt with. You see, the Bible tells us that on the cross, the Lord Jesus suffered for sins. While the Lord Jesus was on the cross, there was 3 hours where the whole scene was dark. The Bible says that a darkness came on all the land for 3 hours while the Lord Jesus was on the cross. And the Bible tells us that there in those hours the Lord Jesus shed his blood. And that there in those hours the Lord Jesus suffered for sins. At the end of those hours we hear the Lord Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken of God and suffered for sins at the cross of Calvary, and he bowed his head and he voluntarily died, and he died for sin. And what we're learning is that on that cross where the Son of Man was lifted up, there is the answer to our problem, there is the answer to our sin, there is the possibility of forgiveness of sins, because the Son of Man has been lifted up. Just like that serpent in a day gone by was lifted up in the wilderness so that those people could be saved from those snakes. You know, I'm glad to tell you that because Christ has suffered, there is provision for you to be saved. The Bible says that he gave himself a ransom for all. And that means that the value of the sufferings of Christ, the value of his blood and of his death, is enough and more for all to be saved if they would believe in him. Such is the value of the blood of Christ. And the Bible tells us that there is full provision for forgiveness of sins. And this is essentially why we have a gospel meeting. Because there is provision from God for you to have your sins forgiven. For you to go to heaven. For you to be right with God forever. For you never to go down to hell but to be in heaven someday. And this is good news. It's all because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross when the Son of Man was lifted up. I'm glad to tell you that after the Lord Jesus died, on the third day after his death, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And I've not come to Dunfermline today to tell you about a man whose body you can go and see in a grave in Israel today. I have come to tell you about a man who is right now bodily risen from the dead And he is at this very moment risen and in heaven, exalted at God's right hand, and he could not have a higher position in heaven. The Bible says he is far above all, and he is risen from the dead. God has made him Lord and Christ, and he's in heaven today, and he is interested in saving your soul this afternoon, if you will have him. This is the Lord Jesus. The Son of Man has been lifted up. But we might well ask a question. You know, I've been saying that because of the work of Christ, there's provision for your sins to be forgiven. I've been telling you that because of the work of Christ, there's an offer from God of you being in heaven someday and not going to hell. Because of the work of Christ, there's an offer from God of you being right with him and your sins being forgiven. But perhaps we should ask a question now, a very important question. How do I go from knowing there's provision for my sins to be forgiven to knowing this, my sins are forgiven? How do I go from knowing this, that Christ has made provision for my salvation, to knowing this, that I'm saved? How do I go from knowing it's possible for me not to go to hell, to knowing this, that I'll never see divine judgment because Christ has suffered in my place, and because Christ has suffered for me, I'll never suffer for my sins? How do I go from knowing that God wants me to be saved and that I could be saved to knowing that I am saved? Well, we learn about this in verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's why the Son of Man was lifted up. It was so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The answer to the question of how you come into the good of the work of Christ and how you come to know Christ as your Saviour is just this. You believe in him. You trust him. You have faith in him. The Bible talks about believing in the Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about receiving the Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about coming to the Lord Jesus. We come to him in faith, trusting him, believing in him, depending on him to save us. Now, when we talk about believing in the Lord Jesus, this is not only knowing certain facts about the Lord Jesus, but this is me trusting him. This is me believing in him to save my soul. This is me now saying, I'm not depending on me anymore. I'm not depending on the things that I can do to try and please God and try and earn my own way into heaven. It's not me saying that really I don't need salvation. I think I'm a fairly good person and I'll get to heaven my own way. This is not self-sufficiency or self-dependence, but this is me trusting Christ wholeheartedly. On Christ the solid rock I stand, acknowledging this, all other ground is sinking sand. Christ alone can save. And so if we come to Christ trusting him, the truth of God's word is that he will save us. The Lord Jesus is the only man who can save us. There is no other person in God's word who is a saviour of sinners. Christ alone can save us. And he is altogether lovely. He is a lovely man. There's no one like him. He's perfect in all of his character. He's lovely in all of his ways. His work is complete. His work is finished. And because of his finished work at Calvary, he's able to save us. And what he says to you tonight is that if you will trust in him, he will save you. If you are willing to come to him in simple faith and to believe in him, he will save your soul, says the word of God. And he'll take you to heaven. We can't ascend to heaven by ourselves, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. He's been lifted up on the cross so that anyone who believes in him will have eternal life and will never perish, but they'll be in heaven forever with Christ and with God. He can save your soul. You know, to miss Christ is to miss everything. To miss Christ is to miss everything that God wants for your blessing. We're not coming to tell you that you need some system of men on earth, that there's some national church that you need to be a part of, or anything like that. We're not telling you that you need to confess your sins to a priest, or do so many good works. We're telling you that you need Christ, and that Christ alone can save you, and that if you will believe in the Lord Jesus, he loves you and he'll save you. You know, many of these things that I've been mentioning, the Lord Jesus really brought all together, and he summed them all up in the next verse after where we finish reading. And with this I close. The Lord Jesus said this, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.